You're listening to the Doing English Podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Hi, this is Julian from doingenglish.com, and welcome to episode 9 of the Doing English Podcast. What have we got coming up in this week's exciting episode? Well, in last week's episode, I answered the question, how good at English can you get? And I talked about the importance of aiming high, of setting big goals, not settling for mediocre. But I understand that some people may be somewhat skeptical. You see, a lot of us have been brought up with somewhat of a lie. The lie that is talent. But before we get into that, first of all, this week, I want to say a big thank you to Michael, who left a 5-star review on the Doing English Podcast's iTunes page. And Michael said, excellent as always, Julian. Great material for English learners. Totally recommended. Keep going, Julian. We learn a lot from your work. Thank you very much, Michael. It is very much appreciated. And hearing you say that really does mean an awful lot to me. If you ever find yourself in Japan, Michael, let me know. I owe you a beer. And if you haven't already, go ahead and leave a review on iTunes. I will be reading out the best one each week here on the podcast. So go ahead, leave a review, and maybe you'll get your review read out live on the show. So back to the main part of what we're going to talk about today. Talent. It's somewhat of a dirty word, if you ask me. Talent is something that a lot of people talk about. I don't have talent, they say. He has talent for something or other, for whatever. Therefore, he can do or she can do what I can't. But I'm here to tell you that talent as we know it, the idea of talent as this innate gift, something special that we were born with that other people don't have, that idea of talent doesn't exist. There is actually very little scientific evidence to suggest that talent in that sense actually exists. And even very famous cases of people we think of being super talented, such as, say, Tiger Woods in golf or Mozart in classical music, even cases like that, when you look at historical records, actually we see that what we thought was talent was in fact hard work and dedication. In the case of Tiger Woods, for example, his father was actually a teacher. He had his son, Tiger, practicing with the golf club before he could even walk. Mozart, too, dedicated an incredible amount of time to his work. And in fact, his work was not considered anything special until much later in his life. So the case for talent is very thin. Therefore, talent is not a good excuse, in my humble but accurate opinion. Not long ago, I had a lovely day out with Doing English Plus member Hanako. Hanako is Japanese, but she lives in the United States. And when she was back in Tokyo over the summer, we met up and we went out for lunch. And whilst we did that, we went to the Tokyo Sky Tree, which is the tallest tower in the world at the time of recording this. We went in an elevator that travels so fast that it makes your ears pop. It's exciting stuff. The thing is, though, and this is something you might not know about me, but I absolutely hate heights. I really, really, really dislike heights. I get terrible vertigo. I don't even like looking up at high things from the ground. And even more, I hate looking down from the top. I really dislike heights. And it's fine if there are windows and walls between me and imminent death, as is the case with SkyTree. Looking out the window is absolutely fine. But in the tower, there is one part where the floor is actually made of glass, and you can stand on this glass floor and look down. And for me, that's too much. That is, wow. It makes me feel sick just thinking about standing on that glass. And, you know, jumping out of a plane or something like that, I would rather die than jump out of a plane, which is rather ironic, to be perfectly honest, but there we have it. When we moved house back at the beginning of this year, originally we actually looked at the 10th floor of the building that we decided to move to. But it was too much. Going out onto the veranda and looking down was horrifying. But luckily, there was also an apartment open on the first floor, and that's the one we chose. And still, just looking up at that 10th floor from the bottom makes me feel dizzy. Why am I talking about this? There's something that you might not know. But actually, there is scientific evidence, research to show that phobias and fears may actually be genetic. That is, if you are naturally afraid of something, it could be because it is programmed in your DNA. And incidentally, that is why some people can, you know, ride bikes along narrow cliff edges, jump off of cliffs and jump out of high buildings in wingsuits, and feel the adrenaline which comes from doing something dangerous like that, but not feel fear, not feel afraid of being in a high place like that. It may be because they actually lack the gene that makes them afraid of heights and things like that. I, on the other hand, quite definitely have the fear of heights gene. But it's not surprising when you think of research like this that shows that fears and phobias may be genetic. It is not surprising to think that language ability may also be genetic. And in fact, for a long time, there have been scientists who have argued that language is a special ability, that we have an innate ability to learn language, that grammar and vocabulary and concepts such as the verb and the noun are actually programmed in our DNA. Noam Chomsky was one of the key proponents of this idea, and his work shaped psycholinguistics and linguistics for a long time, since the 1950s. There are still people who argue this, but these days, for the most part, our understanding of how learning works has developed a lot. And most people no longer believe that language is something encoded in our genes. That is, language is not special. Language is not an innate ability. Rather, language is just like any other kind of learning. It is a part of our ability as human beings to learn skills, meaning that it is something that all people have. It is not special. It is not talent that helps people to learn languages. Now, obviously, all people learn their first languages to a very high ability. Some people seem to learn second languages to a high level, whereas some people seem to not get very far. It is tempting to think that these people who learn to a very high level do so because of talent. There is, however, no evidence to suggest that this is true. Rather, if you look deeper into what people are doing, it's rather that the people who go further do more. They spend more time learning and they learn on a much more intensive level. It has nothing to do with genes, nothing to do with DNA. Unlike the example I just gave, fears and phobias, which may be programmed into our genes, the ability to learn English, the ability to learn a second language, is not. Talent is irrelevant. This is very good news for you, because it means that you can learn another language. It means that you can master the English language, regardless of your age, regardless of what people tell you. You can master English. There is nothing to stop you. It is as simple as getting a good system for learning, putting in the time and doing the work. If you do that, you will see good results. Good DNA is not required. But the key here is that you do need to put in the time. You do need to put in the work. Without wishing to sound like I am boasting, I would say that I am a good example of this. At school, I am someone who performed very badly at school. You could even say that I failed school. I left school after secondary school originally. I ended up working in a factory, slicing slabs of frozen bacon, which is exactly where my teachers said I would end up. Julian has no talent for studying, they said. And for secondary school French, our second language, I certainly had no talent for that because I got an F and completely failed the subject. If you want to know how I went from that to mastering what is considered the hardest language in the world for native English speakers by the Foreign Service Institute, you can read my story by heading over to doingenglish.com/story. Or if you're listening on iTunes, just click on the website link and you will go to the same place. Okay, that is the end of this week's episode. What have we got coming for you next week? Next week, I've got 3 tips for you for speaking English well. Look forward to that. Have a great week, and I will see you in 7 days from now. Thank you, and goodbye.